And we're holding on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, second line. we were discussing a Mishnah in Midos and a Mishnah in Talmud and a Mishnah in Midos that seemed to contradict each other. Where we have the both of them describe how in the Beis HaMoked, one of the large chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, where they had a fire burning all the time to warm up the Kohanim, Rashi says, or to be able to relight the menorah from, the Mizbeach from, Tosfos says. Anyway, within that, there were four small chambers. So the Mishnah in Midas, which describes the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash, goes through all four of them and explains what each of them was used for. The Mishnah in Talmud also mentions them, but more briefly. The Mishnah in Talmud mentions that it focuses on one of them, Lishkas Atloyim, the chamber where they kept the sheep for the Korbanos. And it says that that was in the northwestern corner of the Beis HaMikdash. But then it mentions, by the way, it mentions the other three chambers that were there as well. So the problem was that in Midos, it describes that that chamber for the sheep was in the southwest corner. So is it northwest or is it southwest? So we started discussing that Rav Huna had said that Midos is authored by Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, whereas Talmud would be by some other Tana, and therefore, okay, they're arguing on what the actual position of these, chambers were, just like we had before, that there was an argument about how much was the difference in elevation between the Harabayis and the Heichel, and we had a machlokus about where the position of the Mizbeach was. You got to ask, by the way, I mean, with all of this, I mean, is it a machlokus in Metzios? I mean, how was it actually in the Beis HaMikdash? One possibility, I guess, is that it could be either way. It would be valid al pi halacha one way or the other. And so they're arguing. So in practice, it may have been a certain way, but is that in fact the primary way how it should be la halacha, or is it not necessary? Could have been one of those kinds of things. Whatever the case. Anyway, so that was all one point. Then Rav Huna's point was that the Mishnayos and Talmud and Midos, yes, they're disagreeing with each other because they're according to different Tanoim. The one in Midos is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the one in Talmud is according to some other Tana. Now the Gemara is going to give a different answer that doesn't require them to be arguing. Rav Ada Brei de Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishka Aksui.
Even if these two Mishnahs are from two different Tanas, it still doesn't reconcile the fact that it's a major difference to say that it's on the north side or on the south side.
Well,
I mean,
right.
How can such a mistake be done?
Well, not really a mistake. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's possible that maybe in different eras within the second Beis HaMikdash, maybe sometimes they had it in one place, sometimes the other. You have to realize, that Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira that there are certain essential things there that the Beis HaMikdash has to have without which it's not considered a Beis HaMikdash. And then you have various other details. Then you have various other details of the blueprint. It could be that some of these things, it could have been up to the Chachamim in each generation to determine how it should be done. And at different times, they had it different ways. Or when they renovated the Beis HaMikdash, then the Chachamim of that time decided that it could be done, that the room could be shifted someplace else. We don't know, really. I mean, it's true. In general, we try to say that there's not a machloikus in Metzios, that the Chachamim can argue what the din is about something, for example, but not about the actual facts. Here we see them on the face of it disagreeing about the actual facts. But again, so that could be that maybe in different times they had it different ways. Whatever the case. So according to Rav Huna, they're definitely arguing. But now Rav Ada Brei de Rav Yitzchak is going to find a way that they're not arguing. So he says, Hai Lishka Aktsuye Maktsia. What it is the Lishka that we're talking about, the chamber where they kept the sheep, was Aktsuye Maktsia. Now, there's many different explanations what that means, but let's start with Rashi's explanation. It was a long chamber, unlike most of the other ones, which were squarish. This one was long, and it started in the west, and went and was long, it went towards the north and towards the south, so it actually almost reached the corners on both sides. Therefore, so when a person is walking into the Beis HaMoked from the north, then to him, from his vantage point, the chamber looks more like it's towards the south, because he sees the length of it extending towards the south. And if you're coming from the south, then it looks more like it's extending towards the north. So in other words, the idea would be, the idea would be, in other words, in Masechta Tamid, we're not describing primarily the blueprint of the Beis Mikdash, we're describing the Mamuna tells them, go bring me a sheep from the Lishka Satloim, and you should know the Lishka Satloim is in the northwest corner. Well then, so what happens is, when they walk from the Azara to the Beis HaMoked is located on the north side of the Azara, therefore you're walking from south towards north, so therefore you see, from your vantage point, it looks like this chamber being long is extending further towards the north. So therefore, that Mishnah describes it as being in the northwest. Whereas in Midas, meanwhile, when it's describing the actual blueprint of the Beis Mikdash, it tells us the fact of the matter is it was in the southwest corner because that's where it started. Now that's according to Rashi. So Aktsuya Maktsiya would mean that it was very long. And there's a reason, Mefarshim talk about what would have been the logic, why should this Lishka Satloyim be so much larger and longer than the other rooms? So a couple of reasons. One of them is they keep the sheep in there. You need room for the sheep to be able to walk around. You don't want to keep them penned up for the couple of days that they're there. So therefore, the room had to be longer than the other ones. Another point that some of the Mefarshim make is, given that, now again, you have the sheep staying in this room for a few days, during that time, they're going to defecate at times. It would be a bizoyan for the Azara to do that. Therefore, they had to make sure that the room where they keep them extends further towards the side of the Beis HaMoked, which is outside the Azara. We said the other day that the half of the Beis HaMoked was in the Kodesh area, half was in the Chol area, outside of the Azara proper, and there were Roshi Pispisin, there were the ends of wooden beams sticking out of the wall or the floor or whatever, that marked off where one part ended and the other part began. So therefore, they had to have this Lishka long enough to stick into that part and to have an opening to that part, so that way the Lishka is not fully considered Kodesh, and that way, if the sheep defecate in there, it's not so bad. So that's one explanation of Aktsuya Maktsiya. Then you have a few other explanations that Rishonim give. The Balamor seems to say that Aktsuya Maktsiya means essentially that the walls of it were not perpendicular to the other ones, but rather were at an angle. So therefore, again, depending on your vantage point, it looks like it's going more in one direction or another. A different explanation some of the Rishonim say on Aktsuya Maktsiya means that and means that and here you have a diagram in Rashi which sort of represents this, although it's not completely accurate. Actually not in Rashi, it's actually in Tosfos over there. That the Lishka Satloyim was not exactly in the corner, it was moved over a little bit from the corner. So its northern wall was not the same as the northern wall of the Beis HaMoked. There was a space in between. So again, when you come in from the north, therefore, so you don't see that Lishka in the corner, you don't see it in the northwestern corner. From that vantage point, it looks as though it's further towards the south. And then when you come in from the south, the fact is it is close to the corner, so therefore you see it as being closer to the northwestern corner. That's another possible meaning of Aktsuya Maktsiya, that it's not right at the corner, but rather inset a little bit from the corner. And then the Rambam has an explanation, actually, and it might be based on a different girsa in the Gemara over here, that he says, when you think about it, within the Beis HaMoked itself, you have two different things we can consider. There's where this chamber is within the Beis HaMoked, and then we also have to talk about where the Beis HaMikdash is, where the Beis HaMoked is relative to the whole Azara. The Beis HaMoked relative to the whole Azara is on the northwestern side. It's somewhere along the northern wall, and it's closer to the western end of the Azara, like next to the Heichal. And then within the Beis HaMoked itself, the Lishka Satloim would be the southwestern chamber like the Mishnah in Midas says. So that way we could reconcile it that way, and we could say, in other words, one is talking about in Tumid, it's talking about when he says, he doesn't mean in this northwestern corner of the Beis HaMikdash, he means in the northwestern corner of the Azara as a whole. And then in Midas, when it describes the four chambers, and it says that the southwestern one was Tloy Korban, that means within the Beis HaMikdash itself, the southwest, that was the southwestern one. So the Rambam understands it that way, although on Omid Beis, Tosfos brings that as a potential explanation, but says it seems the Gemara didn't give that, so therefore, how can we say it, and why indeed did the Gemara not give that explanation? But those are the various explanations that Rishonim offer for the Saktsuye Maktsia. So therefore, again, Rav Ada Brei de Rabbi Yitzchok is saying, according to any of these explanations, that the chamber was sort of both in the northeast and in the northwest and in the southwest. It depended on your vantage point. Now, then the question becomes, in that case, which side was it closer to? Or mistabra d'mamarobis d'roimis havoi. It's more logical to say that it was, in fact, closer to the southwestern corner. So again, in other words, according to Rashi, for example, that it started in, according to the way Rashi learns, that it did actually start at the corner. It was just longer than the other chambers. And so it extended out further towards the north. What the Gemara is saying is it's logical. Now you could say, in other words, if it's long and it covers most of the western wall of the Beis HaMikdash. So what was it? Did it begin in the southwestern corner and extend out towards the north? Or did it begin in the northwestern corner and extend out towards the south? It's logical to say that it started out in the southwest corner and then extended further towards the north. And again, according to the other Rishonim, you would say similarly, in other words, that it was basically in the southwest corner, but the walls of it were on an angle towards the north, or it was offset from the wall a little bit towards the north or whatever. Why? Mimai, where do we see that from? Midraminan lechem aponim, alechem aponim, because we pointed out, the Bnei HaYeshiva pointed out, that you seem to have another contradiction between these Mishnayos. Besides that it describes the Lishkas Atloyim differently, one describes it as being in the northwest, the other in the southwest, you seem to have another contradiction, namely that the two of them describe the chamber where they make lechem aponim to be differently. Namely like this. In the Mishnah in Tumid, the expression is that there are four chambers. Now, it doesn't say which corner each one of them is in. The only one that it assigns a corner to is the Lishkas HaTloyim. But we would assume that if we're listing the chambers in order, then we're going counterclockwise, because we said the other day, Kol Pinis Shatapoina Lo Yiru Ela Yamin. When you're turning, you should always be turning to the right, which means that you're going counterclockwise. You're always moving towards your own right. So if we said Lishkas HaTloyim, so we said you have Lishkas HaTloyim, Lishkas HaChesomis, Lishkas Beis HaMoked, and Lishkas HaOsha Osin B'Lachem HaPonim, then it would come out that the one where they made the Lachem HaPonim would be in the northeast. Now, on the other hand, the Mishnah in Midas explicitly says what corner each of the chambers was in, and it says that the one where they made the Lachem HaPonim was the southeastern corner. So what is it? Again, is it northeast or is it southeast? So we point out that contradiction, umeshaninan, and we answer that in fact there's definitely no contradiction. Amar of Huna Bredi Vishua, Marka Choshev Derech Yeminu, Marka Choshev Derech Smel. Very simple. The two Mishnayos are telling us the same thing, but they're going in opposite directions around the Beis HaMikdash. One is going Derech Yemin, which is counterclockwise, and the other one is going Derech Smel, which is clockwise. So therefore, in other words, the one in Tumid, you're assuming, you Makshin are understanding that the one in Tumid is also going counterclockwise. Therefore, you're saying if the Lishkas HaTloyim, which is the first one listed, was in the northwest, then you would have to have that the other ones are in turn counterclockwise, and then you wind up that the fourth one, the Lishka where they made the Lechem Aponim, would be in the northeast. No, it doesn't have to be. It could be that it's listing them clockwise, and then therefore it comes out also in the southeast, same as the Mishnah in Midas. So now, so how is that relevant So how is that relevant to the discussion of where the Lishka Saploim is? So now, so here, by the way, Tosfos gets into a couple of a bit of discussion about the pros and cons of that. Why don't we say that one of them is talking from the vantage point of somebody inside the Beis HaMoked, and the other one is talking from the vantage point of somebody outside the Beis HaMoked, and Tosfos explains why you can't do that. And why don't we say that the chamber of the Lechem Aponim was also a little offset from there was also a little offset from the corner. One thing is also Tosfos mentions and other Rishonim mention in the Mishnah and Tumid, two of the Lashachas that we're mentioning were given. We said there were different things that were being done with them. In Tumid, we had as follows: one was Lishkas Atloim, same as in Midas. Another one was Lechem Aponim, same as in Midas. But then he had the other two that it listed in Tumid were one was for the Chesamos, where they had the office where they gave out the vouchers for Nesachim that we learned about in Shkalim, and the other one was the Lishkas Beis HaMoked where they had a fire burning. In Midas, those two are described as one where they put the stones of the Mizbeach that the Greeks had desecrated, and then the Beis Chashmonai put them away in there. And the other one was a place where they went down to the mikveh. So the Mefarshim explained that evidently the idea is that two of these chambers had served double duty. So on the face of it, based on our Gemara, it would have to be in order not to have these Mishnayos contradict each other. You would have to say that the one where they put the stones of the Mizbeach is also the one where they went down to the Beis HaTevila, and the one where they had the fire burning would also be the one where they did the Chesamos. Although some of the Mefarshim explain it the other way around, and therefore then we have to understand how, according to them, we would work this out. But anyway, let's continue the Gemara. So how does this question of whether the Mishnayos in Tumid or Midas are listing the chambers clockwise or counterclockwise? What does that have to do with the point? What does that have to do with where the Lishkas Atloim is? If you say that the Lishkas Atloim was basically in the southwest, and just it was long, and therefore it went further towards the north, and therefore a person walking in from the south imagines it as going more toward the north. Well, then then that explains how we reconcile the two Mishnayos, because we are starting from in both Mishnayos, we're starting from the southwest corner. So then in that case, one Mishnah is going clockwise, one's going counterclockwise. And therefore, so we end up with the Lishkas Lechem Aponim being in the southeast. We end up, in other words, Lishkas Atloim is in the southwest. Chosamos, again, if you're going clockwise, like the Mishnah in Tumid would, then you get to northwest. Lishkas Beis HaMoked then would be northeast, and Lishkas Lechem Aponim would be in southeast, and that would agree with the Mishnah in Midas, which places that Lishka in the southeast. Eli Amet Sfonis Ma'arovis Havoi. But if you say that if you were to say that the Lishkas Atloim is basically in the northwest, and it only sticks out some direction towards the south, then safe, my two rotsu delachem upon him. Then after all, you still wouldn't be able to reconcile. How would you make the two Mishnayos be describing the lachem upon him in the same place? On the face of it, even if so, then whether you went clockwise or counterclockwise, you would still wind up that the lachem upon him is being placed in a different position according to both of them. So that shows that essentially the Lishkas Atloim was basically in the southwest corner. And then again, so one Mishnah is listing them clockwise, and the other one is listing them counterclockwise. Shmamina, so that proves it. So here also you have Tosfos gives a few more diagrams over here about possibilities, how we could say how the various chambers were arranged. For one thing, Tosfos says we could have argued that all of the chambers were offset from their respective corners. But Tosfos says it would be a bit of a doichuk to say that. A number of achronim actually say that some of the diagrams that we have here in Tosfos are actually incorrect. They're printed incorrectly, and they offer various other diagrams to illustrate what Tosfos was actually trying to say. Whatever the case, the maskana of the Gemara is that, according to most of the Rishonim, is that the Lishka Satloim was Maktsuyim Maktsi, long according to Rashi, offset from the wall according to some other Rishonim. And therefore, depending on your vantage point, it looked like it was in the north or in the south. But as far as the rest of the Lashachas, the Mishnah in Talmud is listing them clockwise, and the one in Midos is listing them counterclockwise. Okay, so the Gemara asks, this is all according to Rav Ada Breid Rav Yitzchak. According to Rav Huna, we don't necessarily need all of that. According to him, these Mishnayos come from different Tanoim, and they may well be arguing with each other, just as we find Tanoim arguing on different other details of the blueprint of the Beis Mikdash. Okay, so the question is, how could you have a Mishnah in Tumid? How could we say that the Mishnah in Tumid is describing them going clockwise, which means going around, going, turning to your left all the time? Didn't we say before, whenever you're turning, it should always be to the right, meaning to the east. Again, Rashi pointed out over there that the word, we don't really need the word east over here. That's more relevant when we're talking about what side the ramp of the Mizbeach is on. But the point is, in the Beis Mikdash, you're always supposed to be turning towards the right. So therefore, so every Mishnah that's listing chambers should be listing them going counterclockwise, which would be turning to your right. The answer is Hani Mili Bavoida. That's talking about doing the actual Avoida. Yes, you always want to be going counterclockwise. Therefore, for example, when the Kohen is going on the Soviv of the Mizbeach and going around and putting blood for the Chatas, then he goes counterclockwise, like we say in Ezer Mekoyman. He starts out with Dremis Mizrach, southeast, then he goes to Mizrachis Tzfonis, northeast, and then continues from there, going counterclockwise around the Mizbeach, and the same thing in other things. But here we're not talking about actually going; we're just talking about listing the chambers. So there's no problem if the Tana chooses to list them clockwise. That doesn't go against that principle, because we're not actually going; we're just describing. Okay. So that's the end of that sugya. So again, the reason why we brought in that sugya is because it was similar to, we had a sugya that started on Yudalot Amud Beis, where we seemed to have a contradiction between a Mishnah in Yuma and a Mishnah in Tumid about the order of the Keteris versus the Neiris. And we answered it by saying that the Mishnayos in Yuma are according to the Shimon Isha Mitzvah, and the ones in Tumid are according to some other Tana. So then, now, in a similar vein, we had, when it came to Tumid versus Midos, we had a similar answer where Rav Huna had said that Midos is according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and Tumid is according to some other Tana. So that was how this whole sugya got in over here. Okay. Now, getting back to, we said in the Mishnah, Shekoin Gadol Makruv Chelik Barosh V'Noto Chelik Barosh, we said the Kohen Gadol is the first one to offer a korban if he wants, and he's the first one to get a portion of the korbanus. So, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa on the details of that. Ketzed Makruv Chelik Barosh, what do we mean that the Kohen Gadol is the first one to bring a portion of the korban? Means, Omer, Oila Zuani Makriv, Mincha Zuani Makriv. He can say anytime he wants, I want to offer this Oila, or I want to offer this Mincha. And even though you have on duty that week in the Beis Mikdash, you have a particular Mishmar, and each day you have a certain base of in the Mishmar, and the Kohen Gadol doesn't necessarily belong to that Mishmar. Nevertheless, he can preempt them anytime he wants and say, I want to offer this Korban. Ketzed Noto Chelik Barosh, what do we mean that the Kohen gets the first portion? Similarly, Omer Chatas Zuani Oichel, Oshem Zani Oichel. He can say, I want to eat this Chatas, or I want to eat this Oshem, and they have to give it to him. One point is, before we mention Ola and Mincha, now we're mentioning Chatas and Oshem. The point is, even if he didn't offer the Korban, he didn't offer the Chatas, because we didn't see before that he asked to offer it. Nevertheless, he's entitled to it if he wants it. V'noto chala mishtei chalos. Now, also when it comes to Shavuos, and you have the shtei alechem, then he gets one of the two shtei alechem. And I guess the idea is either he can eat it himself or he can give it out to his family. Some of the Mefarshim say that maybe he could also give it out to whichever Kohenim he wants. Others say that no. I mean, in that case, then he's really preempting what the other Kohenim can have. It means he can keep it for himself and his family. But if he wants certain Kohenim to get it, then no, he doesn't necessarily have a right to get that, let those Kohenim get it themselves. Anyway, so he gets one of the two lechem upon him, and arba or chamish mimaisa lechem upon him. He gets four or five of the lechem upon him that are distributed every Shabbos. We're going to see soon in the Gemara. What do we mean four or five? Does he get four or does he get five? We'll see soon. Now, one interesting point is, by the way, when we see that when it comes to the chatas or the osham, it says he can take it, implying that he can take the whole thing, all the meat of it that the kohenim are allowed to eat. Whereas by the shtei lechem and by the lechem upon him, we're saying he only gets half. So there's a few different explanations why that should be. One of them is there can be a difference between korbanos yachid and korbanos tzibur. This is based on a Yerushalmi, that maybe by korbanos yachid, he can take the whole thing if he wants, but korbanos tzibur, he's only entitled to a half. There's a couple of other explanations. One explanation is also that when it comes to the chatos or the osham, it's kind of an all or nothing thing in the sense that the Gemara is going to say soon, it's not really derech eretz to give him just like a half a loaf. You're either giving him a whole loaf or not. So therefore, when it comes to a korban, you don't really have, I mean, the korban has to be cut up into pieces, but then so you could argue to give him a piece is not really so derech eretz, so therefore he's entitled to the whole thing, as opposed to the shtei lechem and the lechem upon him are separate units. You have a separate challah, you have separate challahs. Therefore you can give him only part. You can give him only a half or a little less than half, as we're going to say, and it's not a problem of a lack of derech eretz. Okay, so anyway, so the Tanakhama says you give him four or five of the lechem upon him. Rebbe Omer lo olam chamish. Rebbe says you always give him five. Why are you giving him the lechem upon him? Why are you giving him so much lechem upon him? Shenema, because the pasuk says v'hoisa la'aron ulevanav, that the lechem upon him should be for Aaron and for his sons in this week's parasha. So therefore, it means that the fact that it puts Aaron on the same level of his sons means mechtzel Aaron and mechtzel levanav means half of the lechem upon him goes to Aaron and half goes to his sons. Well, four or five is not half of 12. So the Gemara says, "Hogrof akasha." You seem to have a contradiction within the Braisa over here. Amrit noitel chala achas v'shtei chalas. First, you're saying that the Kohen Gadol gets one of the two chalas of Shavuos. Now, Mani, now who would that be like? Apparently, Rebbe. Apparently, that's according to Rebbe. D'amar Pauga Shakil, where Rebbe says that he takes half. Now, we're going to see soon in that case why Rebbe says that he always gets five of the lechem upon him. Five is not half of 12. But the assumption is that we're saying that for reasons that we're going to discuss soon, you have one way of looking at it is only 10 of the lechem upon him are being distributed as like a free thing to the kohenim. Two of them they actually earn. And therefore, you could say, so five is half of 10. So according to Rebbe, he's literally getting half. But that means, and therefore, so you could say, okay, when it comes to the shtei lechem, he's getting one out of two, which is a half. But ema mitziyasa. But then you have the middle of the braisa, arba uchamish memaisa lechem upon him, where he gets four or five of the lechem upon him. Asan rabbanon. Now that part seems to be according to the rabbanon. Da'amri loy shokel pauga. They say that the kohen gadol does not get a full half. Because if he was going to get a full half, then he should always be getting five, like Rebbe is saying. So far we have the beginning of the Braisa seems to be like Rebbe. The middle part seems to be like the Chachamim. Ema Sefer, and then let's look at the Sefer. Rebbe Omer lo Olam Chamish. Rebbe says he always gets five. So what's going on? Reish of a Sefer Rebbe Umetziyasa Rabbanon. What do you have? A Braisa over here where the beginning of it is according to Rebbe. Then in the middle you have the opinion of the Chachamim. And then it finishes again with Rebbe's opinion. That's not a logical way to structure a Braisa. The answer is Amar Abaye. No, Reisho Mitziyasa Rabbanon. Actually, the first part when we said that he gets when we said that he gets one of the two chalas of the shtei lechem is in fact according to the Rabbanon. And the middle part was also when we said that he gets four or five. The lechem upon him is also according to the Rabbanon. And then we have Rebbe disagreed. So you're saying the Chachamim say he should get less than half. Because after all, Tosfos explains, there's a logical reason for the Chachamim to say, it's true, it says La'aron Levanav. On the other hand, maybe it's a little bit of a lack of derech eretz for all the other Kohenim to give him, one person, an amount equal to all of them. Therefore, the Chachamim say that maybe he should get less than half. But why in the ratio are we saying he gets one out of the two chalas? Because we have the opposite problem. Umodir abanan beprusa, the chachamim do agree that you can't break off a piece and give it to the kohen gadol. The lav oirach aron lames for the kohen gadol, it wouldn't be derech eretz to give a broken piece to the kohen gadol. So therefore, of necessity, since you only have shtei alechem, and you have to give some to the kohen gadol, so of necessity, therefore, you have to give him a whole loaf, because if you broke it, then it would be a lack of derech eretz. So therefore, so you could say, in other words, so by the lechem upon him, you have the ability to do less than half, and therefore the chachamim say that you do that. But with the lechem upon him, you don't have the ability to give him less than half unless you're going to break up one of the loaves, and we can't do that either. So then, umay arba chomish. So then what do we mean when the chachamim say in this braisa, four or five of the lechem upon him? What is it? Does he get four or does he get five? So now like this. You have a machloikus at the end of Sukkah. The last few Mishnayos of Sukkah describe the order of how they distributed the lechem upon him among the Kohanim. And it mentions over there like this. Now you have every Shabbos, they would take the old lechem upon him off the shulchan and replace it with new lechem upon him. And then they'd offer the bazichin, the two spoonfuls of levoina. They would offer those on a mizbeach. And then the old lechem upon him would be distributed among the kohenim and they would eat it. Now this is every Shabbos. Every Shabbos also is when the mishmar changes. The old mishmar that was serving the whole previous week is done during the avodah, and they leave, and the new mishmar comes in and takes over for Shabbos afternoon. So now, how many lechem upon him does each of those groups get? So you have a machlokas over there. The Tanakama there in the Mishnah and Sukkah says that each group gets six chalas. Now the Ritva explains that here in the Gemara we're talking about that the Kohen Gadol getting several of the chalas. So there we have to assume that if the Kohen Gadol is going to get, then he gets his portion. He gets his four or five chalas before they distribute the rest of the chalas among the Kohenim. But also, of course, it doesn't have to be that always he's taking. We're saying he has the option to take. He's no tochelik barosh if he wants. But if he doesn't want, or he doesn't happen to be in town or whatever, then we have full 12 lachem upon him to give out among the mishmaris. So the Tanakama says over there, the way we do it is it's six chalas to one mishmar and six to the other. Then you have Rabbi Yehuda says over there that no, the incoming mishmar gets seven and the outgoing mishmar gets five. Why? Because the Gemara explains over there, and we're going to have here in our Gemara, because the incoming Mishmar is going to be closing the gates of the Azara, which the outgoing Mishmar had opened in the morning. Every morning they open the gates of the Azara and of the Heichel, and every day in the evening they have to be closed. So the incoming Mishmar, the new Mishmar that's taking over Shabbos afternoon, is going to be closing the gates that the previous Mishmar opened in the morning, and for that they get a schar. For that they get two chalas. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's five for the outgoing Mishmar and seven for the incoming one. So now, the Rabbanan, the Chachamim, the Tanakama of our Braisa, when we said that the Kohen Gadol gets four or five, is saying four or five, depending on those two different opinions. In other words, these Chachamim are saying, we're not going to take a stand on that Machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about whether there's Schar Hagafas Dlosis, the Schar for closing the doors. So either way, if you say like the Chachamim in that Braisa, in that Mishnah, in Sukkah, then we have one way of doing it. If we say like Rabbi Yehuda, then we have a different way. So, l'rabbonon, according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah in Sukkah, the Amri Nichnas Noto Sheish V'yotze Noto Sheish, they say the incoming Mishmar gets six chalas of the lechem upon him, and the outgoing one also gets six. Then, Uschar HaGofas Dlosis Loi, and they hold there's no Uschar HaGofas Dlosis, the incoming Mishmar does not get anything extra for the fact that they're going to be closing the door. Then in that case, Mishtem Esri Boy Miflag. So then in that case, you have 12 that are being actually divided among all the Kohenim. None of them are what they earned for their work. All of them is basically a freebie that they're getting for being the Kohenim on duty that week. Therefore, so now, according to the Chachamim of our Braisa from Yudzayin Amud Beis, again, according to them, the Kohen Gadol does not quite get half. He has to get less than half. Therefore, half of 12 would be six. Botzer chodem mipalga, subtract one from that half, chomesh shakel. Therefore, he winds up taking five. So that's why they're saying sometimes he gets, that's not sometimes. Therefore, they're saying it's possible that he gets five if we hold like the chachamim in that Mishnah in Sukkah. Le Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, according to Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah, Dama Nichnas Noto Sheva, where he says that the incoming Mishmar gets seven chalas, because it means Shtayim B'Schar HaGofas Dlosis, they're getting an extra two as a payment, so to speak, for closing the doors of the Azara. The Yotze, you have to realize, by the way, these were big, heavy doors. So it's not like, we're not just talking about, you leave a room now and you close the door and that's it. We're talking about these were big, heavy doors. It took a lot of effort to close them. So therefore, And Rabbi Yehuda says the Yotze Noito Chomesh, and the outgoing Mishmer gets only five Chalas. So really, therefore, so two of the Chalas, therefore we subtract, we don't consider those. When we're considering what the Kohen Gadol is entitled to a portion of, we have to count only the things which the Kohenim are getting as freebies, Mishochan Gavoya. We can't count as what, we can't count for this purpose what they're getting as payment for what they do. So two chalas they're getting as payment, those are not being counted when we consider the Kohen Gadol's portion. Therefore, we only have me'esa boi miflag. Therefore, we only have 10 that are being divided up among the mishmaris. Therefore, again, the chachamim of our braisa say that the Kohen Gadol never gets half, he gets less than half. Botzu chodemi palga, so subtract one from the half, half of 10 is 5, minus 1 is 4. V'shokel arba, and therefore, according to them, the Kohen Gadol would get 4. So that's why the Chachamim in that Braisa are saying 4 or 5, because they're saying we don't want to deal with the Machlokas of Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim in Sukkah. We're saying, though, that whatever the case, according to the Chachamim, half is 6, and therefore we're saying 5. And according to Rabbi Huda, half is 5, and therefore we're saying 4. So therefore 4 or 5, depending which Tana you hold like in Sukkah. And then when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, the Chachamim are going to say, it's true, the Kohen Gadol should also be getting a little bit less than half. So by rights, he should be getting only 3/4 of a challah or something. But we can't do that because you can't break up a challah and give it to him. It wouldn't be Derech Eretz. So therefore, in that case, there's no choice. We give him one of the two challahs. Okay. So that's all one way of explaining what the Chachamim mean by 4 or 5. Rava Omar. So again, we started with the question that the Braisa seems to be first according to the Chachamim, then according to Rebbe, then back according to the Chachamim. How does that work? So we said no. The first part about the Lechem upon it, about the Shtei Lechem, is according to the Chachamim. But we're saying in the case of the Shtei Lechem, there's no alternative. You have to give him a whole loaf because you can't break a loaf and give it to him. Now, Rava Omar, Rava gives a different answer, Kula Rebbe. No, you could actually say that the whole Braisa is according to Rebbe. V'sava lak Rebbe Yehuda, we could say Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda in the Mishnah in Sukkah, that again, the Mishmar HaNichnas, the incoming Mishmar, gets 2 more chalas because of the schar for the fact that they're closing the doors. And therefore, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that therefore we really only have 10 to work with when we're figuring out the Kohen Gadol's portion, not 12. By the way, the Gvura Sari points out an interesting point over here. On the face of it, is it really the case that 2 chalas are going as the reward? I mean, it's true. It comes out one is getting 5 and one is getting 7. But when you think of it, it's really only 1 chala that's changing hands over here. Instead of 6 and 6, it's 5 and 7. So therefore, really, you have, in other words, 11 chalas that are actually being distributed among the mishmaris. So he says, fine, but if we did that, if according to the Chachamim, if we gave the Kohen Gadol 5, people wouldn't realize that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to get less than half. They would think the Kohen Gadol is supposed to get half. But again, what are you supposed to do? You can't break a challah in half and give it to him. 11 is an odd number, so therefore, of necessity, you have to give him 5. So therefore, we davka do it in such a way where we make that the amount that we consider 2 chalas to be the schar hagafas losses rather than just 1. Therefore, we're left with 10. Therefore, when we give the Kohen Gadol only 4 rather than 5, say the Chachamim, we can clearly see that we're giving him less than half. Okay, so anyway, so Rava is saying like this. The Braisa before is all according to Rebbe. So the first part that says he gets one of the 2 lachem upon him, fine. Rebbe says the Kohen Gadol always gets half, 1 out of 2. In the Braisa continues that the Kohen Gadol gets 4 or 5, that we're going to explain why Rebbe would say sometimes 4. And then the Braisa finishes off that Rebbe is saying 5. The truth is, in the Braisa, Rebbe had said La'olam chamesh, that always 5, and the Gemara is going to ask soon that if you're going to say according to Rebbe there are times when he's getting 4, then why, how do you understand the Lashon La'olam? In fact, Agoris Agra on the previous Amud takes out the word La'olam from the Braisa, possibly because of this problem. But the Gemara is going to point that out soon. But anyway, so the question is, according to Rebbe, why would the Kohen Gadol sometimes be getting 4? So the Elamai Arba. So according to him, why is the Kohen Gadol getting four? Hachomish by the Mishkal. According to Rebbe's logic, he should always be getting five, because Rebbe is saying the Kohen Gadol always gets half. And since we're saying Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda that you really only have 10 lechem upon him that are being 10 lechem upon him that are being distributed without factoring in the Schar HaGofas losses. You have two for the Schar HaGofas losses. That the Kohen Gadol doesn't get any portion of. You have 10 left, and half of 10 is 5. So according to him, the Kohen Gadol should always be getting 5. Why are we saying 4? So the answer is Loi Kasha, Hodi Ika Mishma Hamas Akiv, Hodaleka Mishma Hamas Akiv. It depends. There's another factor we have to consider, which it also mentions in the Mishnah and Sukkah over there. Now, you have like this. We know that during the Yomim Tovim, during the Shalosh Regalim, all the Mishmaris are entitled equally to serve in the Bais Mikdash, and all of them join the pious to determine which Mishmar does which Avodah, and which Kohen does which Avodah, and all of them get equal portions of the Lechem Apon. The same thing the Mishnah describes over there. If Shabbos is the day before Yom Tov or the day after Yom Tov, so Yom Tov begins on Sunday or Yom Tov ends on Friday, same thing. Given that Yom Tov and Shabbos are adjacent to each other, the Kohenim can't travel on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, so necessarily all the Mishmaris have to be there for that Shabbos because they were there for the Yom Tov and they stay over for Shabbos, or because they had to come for Shabbos in order to be there for Yom Tov. So therefore, also that Shabbos, even though it's not part of the Yom Tov, then nevertheless they all get equal portions of Lechem Apon. Now, though, the Mishnah describes there in Sukkah what happens if you have one day between. So suppose that Yom Tov begins on Monday or Yom Tov ends on Thursday. Or, you know, you could also have not just begins or ends. You also have, for example, Shavuos. Could be a Shavuos is a one-day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. So Shavuos could be on Thursday or on Monday. Whatever the case. Now, what happens that Shabbos, that's 2 days away from Yom Tov? So you have the Mishmaris can travel because they have a day in between. They have Friday or Sunday, which is a weekday, and they can travel. However, you have some Mishmaris that will come early, that will come on Friday and be there for that Shabbos, or that will stay over that Friday and not leave until after Shabbos. So they're called the Mishmar HaMisakiv. And the Mishnah says over there that they're entitled to 2 loaves of the Lechem Apon. So in other words, in that case, what you have is there's more than 2 Mishmaris to deal with. If you have, let's say, for example, that Shabbos, so you have, let's say it's the Shabbos before Sukkot, it's 2 days before Sukkot. So you're gonna have, let's say, for example, the first Mishmar, which is called Yehoyariv, is finishing their term in the Beis Hamikdash. The second Mishmar called Yedaya is taking over. So normally, if it was a regular Shabbos and there were no other Mishmaris there, then Yehoyariv would get 6 and Yedaya would get 6 according to the Tanakhama. Or according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yehoyariv, the one that's leaving, would get 5 and Yedaya, the one that's incoming, would get 7. Now, though, what you have is, there's a Mishmar HaMisakev, because it's 2 days before Pesach or before Sukkot, you have a different Mishmar that also came early for that Shabbos. So therefore, we give them 2 chalas. So now, according to the Chachamim, you have 10 other chalas that are being distributed among the 2 Mishmaris, Yedaya, Yehoyariv, and Yedaya. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have only 8. Because according to him, you have 2 for Hagafas losses. So those are given to Yedaya, fine. But that's not a regular distribution. That's their reward for closing the gates. You have another 2 that are given to the Mishmar HaMisakiv. And then you have 8 more that are distributed evenly between Yedaya and Yehoyariv. So now that gives us a different calculation. By the way, the Rambam has an interesting point why it is that we give the Mishmar HaMisakiv only 2 chalas. He says, because the fact is, normally a Mishmar is going to be there all week and they're going to be doing the Avodah. But here where you only have 1 day before or after the Yom Tov, many people from the Mishmar, many Kohen from the Mishmar, are probably not even going to bother coming into town because they're going to figure the rest of the week is going to be a Yom Tov. All the Mishmaris are going to be working equally. We don't have to be in such a rush to be there for the one day when we're going to be doing the Avodah. Most of us can leave, and a few of us can stay behind and do the Avodah for that 1 day Friday that's left of the week. So therefore, there are relatively few of them, and therefore they only get 2 chalas. Anyway, the point is, so going back to the Gemara, so hod ikka mishma misakiv, hod aleka mishma misakiv. So it depends whether we're talking about a Shabbos near a Yom Tov, 2 days before, 2 days after a Yom Tov, whether there's a Mishmar Masakiv or not. Ika Mishmar Masakiv, if there happens to be this Shabbos, a Mishmar Masakiv, then again, we have, according to the Yehuda, we're only distributing 8 chalas among the Mishmaris, because we have 2 that go to the Mishmar Masakiv, 2 more that go to the new Mishmar for closing the gates. That means we have 8 left that we're distributing as freebies to them. And since Rebbe holds that the Kohen Gadol always gets half, the Shokel Arba, so therefore he gets 4 out of 8. Again, he's not getting any of the part that goes for Hagafas losses because he's not closing the gates after all. Why he doesn't get from the one that goes to the Mishmar Masakiv? So they talk about, the Mephoshim talk about that maybe this is a special takonas based in that they get it, and therefore that the Kohen Gadol has no rights to that. Eleka Mishmar Masakiv, whereas if there's no Mishmar Masakiv, then you have 10. Me'esaboy Lemiflag, then you have 10 because you have 2, subtract 2 for Hagafas losses, you're left with 10. And half of 10, v'shokol chomesh. So the Kohen Gadol gets 5. So Rava says you can understand the Braisa that way, and that way you can say the whole Braisa goes according to Rebbe. So now you don't have to be doichik and say, like the first answer in the Gemara, that according to the Chachamim, the Kohen Gadol always gets less than half unless there's no way to do that, like by the Shtei Alechem, and then he has to get exactly half. No, we can say Rebbe holds he always gets half, but how much is that half? By the Lechem Aponim, by the Shtei Alechem, it's always going to be 1 loaf. By the Lechem Aponim, it's going to depend. If Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, and we always subtract 2, then we have to consider, is there a Mishmar Masakiv, and therefore we subtract another 2 or not? So the question is then, Ihochi, if you're going to say like that, my Rebbe Oymer Lo'olam Chomesh, then what does it mean that Rebbe says it's always 5? The fact is, the Braisa said Rebbe says the Kohen Gadol always gets 5. So how are you going to understand that? According to what we just said, it comes out that even according to Rebbe, sometimes he's getting only 4. So the Gemara says Kasha. Okay, that's a Kasha. It's not now, as usual, Kasha doesn't mean that, as usual, Kasha doesn't mean a stira. It doesn't mean we've completely schlugged up Rava. And the Ritva explains a couple of, the Ritva gives a couple of answers. One of them is that when Rebbe says La'olam Chomesh, fine, he means La'olam, he means almost always, most of the time. You don't have a Mishmar Masakiv, so therefore, fine, if you occasionally do, and then we have to adjust things, but he's still justified in saying that in that La'olam, that almost always, the Kohen Gadol gets 5 out of the 10 that are being distributed among the 2 regular Mishmaris, the outgoing and the incoming Mishmar. Yeah, once in a while, you might have a Mishmar Masakiv, and that makes it that now you have 2 less, and therefore he gets only 4, but fine, Rebbe is not talking about that exception. He's talking about, in general, where he gets 5. Another possibility, the Ritva says, is maybe you could say that actually Rebbe does not hold, maybe Rebbe holds like the Chachamim, so there's no schar hagafas losses. So therefore, so if you have a Mishmar Masakiv, then you have 10 because you have 2 that are given to that Mishmar Masakiv, and you have 10, and the Kohen Gadol gets 5 of them. So again, it's not a stira on Rava; it's only a kasha that the lashon of the Braisa doesn't fit so well with his explanation. Lamaisa, the Rambam, by the way, doesn't really have any of this. The Rambam just says straight out that the Kohen Gadol gets six of the Lechem Aponim, which doesn't seem to be like either of the opinions in the Gemara over here. But what that means is, because the Rambam doesn't hold of Schara Gofas losses, he holds like the Chachamim in the Mishneh and Sukkah, that each of the 2 Mishmaris gets 6. There's no extra for the fact that the new Mishmar is closing the gates. And we can say, therefore, that the Rambam is also paskening like Rebbe over here, that the Kohen Gadol always has to get half, according to Rava's explanation of Rebbe. So therefore, half of 12 is 6, and therefore he winds up with 6. But that's what we mean when we said in the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol, noto chelik barosh, it means that he's entitled to half the lechem upon him. And again, we said also with other korbanos, he's entitled to the whole korban if he wants it, at least when it comes to a korban yachid, not necessarily to a korban sibur. Okay. We'll end early today. Yeah.